This is Dana Gum, and I'm speaking with Ms. Renee Burkhoff on the 14th of August, 1985, and we're beginning this interview at 2:20. We're about to interview Ms. Burkhoff about her immigration experience from Hungary in the year 1922.
Yes.
Beginning of tape one.
Okay, Mrs. Burkhoff. If we could begin with where and when were you born?
I was born in Hungary, 1905, September 19th. I was not quite 17 when I came to this country.
And where in Hungary?
I was born in Mor, M-O-R. It's near the Danube. It's a small town.
The Danube River?
Near the Blue Danube, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What was life like in Hungary?
Life was not good in Hungary, especially for the Jewish people, because there was anti-Semitism. The Horthy, H-O-R-T-H-Y, was like the Hungarian Hitler.
Leader.
That was the name of the leader, yes.
Name of the leader.
That was the name of the leader, yes. My family suffered. So we were very anxious to come to America. My father had a brother here living in Pittsburgh. And so my father was beaten. They mistreated him terribly. So my sister came over, my uncle sent for my sister in 1921. And she was going to bring me out in 1922. She sent the money for me. She worked very hard and saved every penny. But my uncle had to send me an affidavit so I won't be charged to the government, so that nobody has to support me. He would take care of me. Those days anyway, you needed to have an affidavit. And of course, my parents hated to leave me go. I was young and very naive. I come from a small town. But I had to have a chaperone. So my passport, everything was taken care of. I said goodbye. My mother packed my belongings, and she packed a beautiful fur piece for my sister. And you had to have $25 when you came to this country at that time. Every immigrant could not enter the country unless they had $25. So I said goodbye and went to Budapest to get my visa. But the American consulate turned me down. After I said goodbye to my mother, father, and sister, and brother, I was told I cannot go. Young I was, naive I was, I cried bitter tears. I had a friend living there who lived in America and went back. He was a professor in Pitt University, and he was teaching English. So I could speak a little English already. And he said, you just go back there and cry. Tell him you have to go. So 3 days it took me, and I cried bitter tears. Finally, the third day, they had pity on me. But they said, you're too young. You cannot go back. I says, well, my chaperone's name is in the passport. I have somebody to go with. A woman from my hometown went at the same time. So finally, I got it. I left Budapest. And we landed in Amsterdam. There we had to be disinfected because they found some young girls and a couple of women too who had little bugs in their hair. And we had to take showers with some disinfectant water every day. And there was one lady, she was very nice to me. She looked at my hair every day so that my hair was clean. And in the meantime, my chaperone went away. I was left alone. So we were there 2 weeks in Amsterdam. And then from Amsterdam, we went to Cherbourg. That's where I boarded the Berengaria from Cunard Line.
Could you spell Cherbourg?
Cherbourg. C-H-E-R-B-U-R-G. I think it is. This is France. It's in France.
Right.
So naturally, as a poor girl, I traveled third class, down in the bottom of the boat. There was four of us in one room, one very nice lady with two children, and I was there. Located, whose bed is this and whose bed is that? And I put my things, jacket, my nightgown and jacket in my one little drawer. I went up one little deck. Then I was told, Then I was told to go in the dining room to have something to eat. I did something, I don't remember anymore what. But I had something to eat. Then I went up on the deck again. And one of the seamen, the fellow who worked there, he said, "Oh boy, you're going to feed the fishes pretty soon. You're green." It didn't take long. I had to run to the railing. And I fed the fishes. Everything I ate went to the fishes in the ocean. I was very sick all the way. It took us 6 days. I have never been in the dining room after that. It was very nice. This lady was very nice. She helped me. In the morning, they walked me up on the deck because I needed air. And in the evening, they walked me down. And I was on the deck all day long. But they brought me up food, mostly Bismarck herring, sour stuff, because the stomach was upset. So that was 6 days. And when we got towards Ellis Island, the boat slowed down, and oh, I felt better, and I was happy. I met a very nice young girl. She was older than me, and there was another girl. And when we saw Miss Liberty, I can't tell you the feeling that we had. We were so happy, and we started to sing. And I'm going to translate that song in English. We sang Hungarian, but I translated it in English. In America, life is golden. In America, it's never dark. In America, there's a lot of money. In America, the girl is happy. In America, the flowers are more beautiful. In America, the world is much better. In America, living is golden. And that's where I'm longing to be, my dear. I translated that from Hungarian.
Can you give us it in Hungarian, too?
Amerikába aranyalét. Can she dictate it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how we're going to do that. Go ahead.
Amerikába sosint sötét. Amerikába van sok dohány. They called the mother, they called the money dough. No, tobacco, they called it tobacco. Amerikában van sok dohány. Amerikában boldog a lány. The girl is happy. Amerikában szebb a virág. Amerikában jobb a világ. Amerikában tiszta az ég. Oda vágyok, haza vágyok, oda vágyok rég. You didn't understand it, but I told you what it's all about. So then we were very, very happy that we came to Ellis Island already. The boat stopped. I remember it was on a Friday afternoon. And then we were scared whether the doctor will find us well. And first they examined us. That was the first thing they examined. That was the next day, of course. And the doctors examined the nails, the hair, the eyes, the mouth, the teeth, and chest. So thank God I went through. I was always fat and healthy. So then came, where's the money? $25. Oh, I must have it in my suit. I came with a wicker basket. And I opened it up. And there was no money, and there was no fur. I started to cry. What am I going to be? I can't go to America. So then they sent a wire to my sister in Pittsburgh to send $25, because you could not go into the country without $25. Every immigrant must have had a $25. So it took a day, but I got this, she sent $25. Then they put a ticket on my dress. They pinned with a safety pin my name and my sister's name and her address and everything. And Pittsburgh, that they should let me out of Pittsburgh. So then they put me on a boat with some others from Ellis Island, and we went into Penn Station. They took us to New York and Penn Station. There they put me on a train to Pittsburgh. They told the conductor to let me off in Pittsburgh because I could speak English. So I got there on Sunday. I got to Pittsburgh. My sister was waiting for me. And I can't tell you how happy I was. I wanted to kiss the ground because I was in America, the best country in the world. And ever since I say, God bless America, I'm very happy. I'm not rich, but I'm happy. And that means more than money.
Well, it's quite a story. if we could go back, fill in some of the details.
Yes, sure.
Back in Hungary, before you came,
yes.
What did your father do?
My father was a cantor. A cantor in the synagogue.
Oh, a cantor.
A cantor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
In the synagogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, what sort of, was it a small village? Or?
It wasn't a village. It was a small town. It was a small town, yes. Not a big city. I was not a city girl.
Right.
I was very naive. My mother cried bitter tears. She didn't want me to go, but we wanted to bring the whole family out. But my father didn't live much longer. 8 months later, he died because this Horthy bunch, they beat him so much because he was a religious Jew. So that they had to cut off his leg. He had blood poisoning. They had to cut off his leg, and he didn't live much longer. He never saw me after that.
Well, the doctor had to do that.
Over there, he was hospitalized, and they had to, because they hit him so much that he had blood poisoning, and they had to cut off his leg from the knee down.
Yeah. Did you go to school there?
Yes.
In the town?
Yes, I went to school. But we had four elementary classes, and then four classes, I don't know what you would call it here. Four classes of elementary, and then like a high school,
right.
Junior, let's go with junior high, yes. Right. Junior high, yeah, that's all I had.
Right.
Yeah.
What had you heard about America?
Oh, everything good. Of course, I had my uncle living here, so he wanted us to come because it's a good country. He made good in this country. Right. He was a wealthy man. So he wanted us to come. My father was his only brother, so he wanted us to come. He sent for my sister, and then she worked hard, and she sent for me. In 1 year's time, she saved up the money to send for me. I don't know how much. I just thought of it the other day that I never paid her back. I feel terrible, but poor thing, she's gone.
Yeah. Did you have brothers and sisters?
My parents had 8 children. I was the 7th, but very unfortunate, there was an epidemic the year I was born, and they lost 3 children in 1 week. They had 5 children, and 3 died in 1 week, and the 2 others were climbing the walls from high temperature, and my mother was expecting me. She was pregnant with me. So then there was only, my brother and sister lived, and then I was born, and I had a younger sister, but she also passed away. I am the only one living out of 8 children.
Yeah, so none of the other ones had a chance to come?
No, only the one sister, the one sent for me. She was my older sister. She's the one who came, and... She was here 1 year, and she sent money for me. And I came, and I was working and trying to bring the rest of the family over, but unfortunately my father passed away 8 months after I left. About 8 months, I left August, and he died in March. So, hard luck family, in a way, but let's see, I was the luckiest one. I'm still here in this wonderful country, and I love it.
Had you studied America in school?
Yeah, we had to go to school right away. They did not say we're going to learn Spanish, we're going to learn Hungarian. We had to go at 3 times a week to school, night school. And I did pretty good. And then I studied, I think I went, this was in Pittsburgh. I went to business school. So I got a job as a cashier in a restaurant, nice restaurant. And then I learned bookkeeping. I did bookkeeping too and selling. And by the way, I have a nephew living here. He came out in 1956 when the Russians occupied Hungary. And over there he was a gynecologist, doctor. And then he came here. He worked for $125 a month in a hospital to intern, because he had to start all over again. But then he studied psychiatry. And then he made good. He was a very good psychiatrist. Unfortunately, he's not a well man. He had to retire. He just celebrated his 65th birthday. But he had to retire because he has a bad heart condition. Has a beautiful family. And after I lost my husband, I just considered myself doubly lucky because they are very good to me. And children I never had. And my nephew and his wife and children, they have 2 children. One son is a doctor, and the other son is working in a Federal Reserve Bank. And I'm celebrating my 80th birthday. I was just told this morning, my niece told me that they're inviting friends and celebrate my 80th birthday next month, which I think is beautiful. Because most young people don't want to have anything to do with older people, I know it. But even their children, they're very respectful and love me very much. So I'm happy because I'm lucky. I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, back in school in Hungary,
yeah.
What did you learn about America?
No,
really. Did you
really
learn anything about America in school?
No.
No?
No, I didn't. When I went to school, I guess it wasn't... I learned from the map, you know, where America is and all the parts of America, but we were not told. Only after I was through and when this Horthy business came up, you know, that's when we were thinking about America. That's when my family said we better go.
Were you ever threatened by the Horthy group?
Well, my father.
Yeah, your father.
My father, he was taken away from home. And they put them with other people, other Jews, in a big garage. And because he was very religious and he wouldn't eat the non-kosher food, they beat him. They hit him. And then they kept him about 3 days there. And he didn't eat nothing. Then one day they threw him out on the ground. And a peasant man came with his horse and buggy and picked them up and brought them home and went straight to the hospital. It was very unfortunate, very unfortunate. It's too bad that this that was a long time ago, but...
So when you decided that, you and your parents decided that you should leave...
Yeah.
You had to go to the embassy in Budapest?
That was, yes, for my visa. Everything else was taken care of at home, in my hometown. My passport, and my uncle sent the affidavit, and my sister, of course, sent the money. Everything was taken care of at home. The only thing, the consulate. I had to go to the consulate, the American consulate, to get the visa. And that's when they turned me down, after I said goodbye already to my family and everybody. It was very hard for me. But he said, you're young, you better stay here with your mother and father. But I said, I have my sister there, my uncle there, and I have a chaperone who will take care of me, watch me. Well, finally, the third day, this professor told me, he said, you just don't give in. Just go ahead and cry. They have a heart. They'll take care. They'll let you go. So finally, the third day, they left me go. Meantime, my chaperone went away.
How did you get the chaperone?
She was a neighbor of ours in the hometown. Her husband was here, living here, and she was coming to her husband with a little child.
Yeah. The American officials required that you have
that I have a chaperone? Yeah, because when you're underage, under 21, you cannot leave the country.
Right.
You have to have a chaperone.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you get from your hometown to Budapest?
Train, 2 hours by train. Yeah.
You did that alone, by yourself?
Yes, I went, because I did go to school in Budapest for 1 year. Mm. I went to I lived in Budapest. After I finished junior high, I lived in Budapest for 1 year and took a business course, you know, business school for 1 year. So I wasn't afraid to ride alone because I had a funny incident once. I was home for Christmas vacation and I traveled second class. The train second class had three seats on each side. It was a separate little room, you know, and on the outside there was a big foyer, like, and it was a bitter cold day, and finally at one station one man got out. There was no room for me in the one room, no seat. So finally one man got out and I went in. And one man says to the other, thank God that Jew got out of here. And me, little innocent thing, I didn't dare to open up my mouth. I just didn't say nothing. Thank God that Jew's got out of here. They didn't know that another Jew got in there. It was really bad.
How did they know you were a Jew?
They didn't know me. The man who got out was a Jew. They said, thank God that Jew got out of here. And this little girl, I came in there. He didn't know that I was a Jew.
Oh, I see. Oh, he was talking about the other person.
He
didn't dare go in.
I did go in because I was freezing outside on the perron, like a foyer, the second class was. They had separate compartments, but there was one long foyer. And that's where I was standing, freezing after Christmas vacation. So finally this man out of one compartment came out, and I was shivering, and I went in and sat down. So one man said to the other, thank God that Jew got out of here. He didn't know that another Jew got in.
Takes me a little while.
That's all right. But to me, I cannot forget this. It struck me funny.
Right.
But I was scared. I was scared because I was young. But I got by.
Yeah. So... once you'd gotten your visa from the consulate,
yes.
How did you get the boat ticket, the ship ticket?
Oh, my sister took care of that. See, she sent the money. I came through Cunard Line. That's where I got my ticket.
Oh, she sent you the ticket?
She paid for it, and Cunard Line gave it to me.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so you left, what was the port you left from?
I left from Sherbrooke.
Right.
From Budapest, I went to Amsterdam. That's by train. And that's where we were kept, I told you, in quarantined, because we were not clean. Mm. I was, but a few of them. That was most of them, but a few of them not clean. So we were disinfected there for 2 weeks. Mm. We could not get out. Meantime, my chaperone did get out.
There was a kind of a group traveling together?
Yes, a group.
Mm-hmm. Hungarian Jews?
That's right.
From your village?
Not necessarily. Cunard Line had so many passengers at that same day.
Oh, I see. They were all Cunard Line.
That's
passengers.
Right. Cunard Line passengers,
right.
Yes.
So did the shipping line arrange the railroad ticket they gave you?
Yes, everything from home to America was taken care of. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. The group arrived in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Right, and you were quarantined.
Quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Where did they keep you?
They had a building there, and they. Oh, I was so angry. There was one man. He was a Cunard Line man. He opened the curtain when I'm standing there, a young girl's taking a shower, and I was naked. I said, pull that curtain. He says, so what? You have the same thing that the other one has. It was rude. I really had a hard time there. But we had to take showers with some kind of special soap and special. We had to be disinfected, because you cannot come to America unless you are just so clean. And if they find anything wrong, back you go. Mm-hmm. I knew of one man who was sent back because they found that he had TB. They put him here in the hospital in Ellis Island, but uncurable. He wasn't curable. They couldn't cure him, so they shipped him back. So we were scared of that, and we tried to keep clean. And thank God we made it. I don't know about the others. This other girl who became my friend only there, she didn't have $25 either. Her brother said he will send her $25 to Ellis Island, but he never did. I was lucky. I got the $25. I left her, but so foolishly, I never asked for address or anything. I lost contact with her altogether.
So the building in Amsterdam, that where you were, where
yeah.
you kept, you weren't allowed to leave the building?
No. We could sit outside. It was big, nice big place. But we could not go into the city.
Yeah. Was it next to the docks?
That's right. The boats were all there. We saw it was nice. Scenery was nice. But we were not allowed to leave. Mm-hmm. After all, they were responsible for us.
Right. How big a group was it? Do you remember?
That I really don't remember. I don't exactly remember. Maybe about 50 or so. Yeah.
So you slept in the building? They had.
Yes, they had beds for us, but the beds were separated with wiring, so we could see each other. And I believe that was the same thing in Konya, in Ellis Island. I believe so. But I slept most of the time on the stone bench. They have stone benches there. That's how I got to talk to this young man, because I said, oh, I remember when I was there 3 years ago. I remember these stone benches. This is where I slept.
On
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. But we had beds. We had beds.
What kind of food did they feed you in?
That I don't remember. I don't think it was very good, because even on the boat, the third class was very poor food. Mostly herrings they gave us, and potatoes and tomatoes. I remember because I said to one man, he was from America, I said, I don't like potatoes or tomatoes. He says, hey, girlie, that's potatoes and tomatoes.
What man was this?
A man who was in Hungary visiting from America. He lived in America, but he also traveled third class, wasn't a rich man.
Oh, I see.
On the boat this was. On the boat this was. I said, I want potatoes and tomatoes. He says, that's not potatoes, it's tomatoes and potatoes. But then there was a very nice Englishman. I never forget him. His name was Philip. He was so good to me. He walked me up and took care of me, and he said, give me something, I want to remember you. I said, I don't have nothing, I'm poor. He says, give me a shoelace. How could I give him a shoelace? I can't go to America without a shoelace. But he was such a nice man. I wish he would have given me, someday I would have thanked him. He was so good to me. He was older, and I was a young girl, and most people were nice to me.
He was
because I was sick. He was traveling also. He was an Englishman. Mm. And because I was so sick, I guess they felt sorry for a young girl who travels alone.
Mm. So he was also traveling steerage?
He was steerage, yes. Mm.
So there were a lot of non-immigrants in steerage?
Oh, yes. Yes, sure. Mm. Some people who were visiting from America, they traveled steerage too.
Mm. How did that Englishman help you?
How did he help you? Sometimes when I was cold, he would cover me up and would you want something, I'll bring you something. So he would bring me something that I could eat because I couldn't eat. Yeah. He was very good to me. Yeah. Philip. I remember his name was Philip. That's all I remember.
Yeah. Well, back in the quarantine house, how did you pass the time? You were there for 2 weeks?
2 weeks we were there, yeah. Well, we were young. We were singing and dancing and telling stories. Mm. That's all. No movies or anything else, no. We could not get away from that building. Mm.
What?
This is the end of side one. Yeah. This is the beginning of side two.
We were talking about the quarantine,
yeah.
Ms. Verkoff, and why did they have to keep you for 2 weeks? Why that long?
That was a law. That Cunard Line, it could be that America requested Cunard Line to keep us there until they're perfectly clean, and because it does takes more than just a day or two, because those little things come back in the head too, and they multiply. Mm. So they want to be sure that everybody's clean. Which is a wonderful thing. Yeah.
So you didn't get any explanation? No one explained to you why you were there?
No. No, they did tell us that we have to be disinfected. They did tell us, sure. Yeah. And they told us to try to keep clean. Yeah. Sure, definitely. Yeah.
What kind of clothes were you wearing at this time?
Not much different. Well, not such nice clothes that like they do here. But we only got clothes twice a year on the holidays, that's all. My parents were not rich, they were poor. And, but twice a year, yeah. We got new clothes. But then when I came here, my sister bought me clothes, yeah. American. But I was not a peasant girl. The peasants in Hungary, they were different clothes. Yeah. They were 2-3 skirts and wide, gathered, and... blouse is different, and of course kerchiefs. I didn't wear no kerchief.
So that wasn't.
I was fairly modernized.
Right. So that wasn't a problem with
no.
The people in the group.
Oh no. That
clothes
was no. No. There was nobody that. I don't think the peasants would want to leave Hungary.
Right.
They had no trouble. They didn't have to leave Hungary.
So how did these people, the people that did have problems with lice?
Yeah.
How did they get them?
Well, maybe they brought them from home. Maybe they were not clean at home. So they had to put bugs. Mm. That kills the bugs. Mm. Oh, they stunk. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so finally after 2 weeks in the quarantine, you were allowed to get on the vessel.
Yes, we were very happy. Of course, Holland is a beautiful place. When we got there, what we saw was very beautiful. Some as we passed by on the bus from the train, and people are nice. And then
you mentioned a lot of the people that you've already mentioned a lot of the people you met on the vessel.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was the Englishman and
Englishmen and some Americans.
Did you meet any of other immigrants? I forget if you mentioned them.
Well, this girl that I became very friendly with, she was an immigrant, and poor thing, I feel sorry for her because she didn't have no $25. Her brother didn't send it in time, but I'm sure he did later. But most of us were immigrants. Most of us were immigrants.
In
yes.
Steerage.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So the steerage was it one big open air? Or I think you said there were little cabins.
Oh yes, sure. Four of us in one cabin.
That's right, yes.
Sure, we had cabins, and we had like the bunk beds, up and down bunk beds. Yes.
Yeah. So was it a fairly nice accommodations? Or?
Well, it was clean. There was a man who cleaned the room. Yes, it was fairly nice.
Yeah.
Nothing elegant about right. it, but just for necessity.
Right.
Place to sleep, and that's it.
Yeah. And how long was the voyage? I think you've already said.
6 days.
6 days.
We left Monday or was it Sunday afternoon or Monday, and we got here Friday afternoon. Very happy. Mm. Yeah, it was great.
Do you remember where the vessel docked, where it came into in New York?
Well, I remember when I passed Mr. Liberty, that, and then close to Ellis Island. I don't really remember. Although I was standing out, but by that time I was good already. I felt better because the boat came in slowly. And to see Miss Liberty, we were very happy and singing. But I don't remember just how it came.
Right. Had you heard about Miss Liberty and Remain?
Oh, yes. Yes. We called it the Statue of Liberty, yeah. And Liberty sounded so good for us. Mm. That's a great word for us. Liberty.
While we're doing a lot of Hungarian here, what was the expression in Hungarian?
Szabadság szobra. The liberty, the statue of liberty. Well, liberty comes first.
Well, one second, let's...
Szabadság szobra. Liberty statue. Liberty statue. In English, it's Statue of Liberty. And in Hungarian, is Liberty Statue. Sure, we heard about it.
Okay, so you landed on... Do you remember anything about the ferry that went to Ellis Island, or how you got there from the boat? Do you remember anything about that?
I think we went straight into the building, if I remember correctly. The ferry took us from Ellis Island to New York. We went on a ferry. But I think the boat landed pretty close to the building.
You don't remember getting in any other boat?
No.
Okay.
No. Straight from the Berengaria, we went into the building. Okay. This is what I remember. I may be wrong, but that's what I remember.
Could you spell Berengaria?
B Berengaria. B E R E N G A R I A. Berengaria, yeah.
Okay. So,
I did that again. I'm sorry.
So, when you arrived on Ellis,
yes.
What were your first impressions? What was the first procedure in the process?
Well, the first thing what they did is look at our papers. They examined our papers to see if everybody's has the right. Visa and a passport and the affidavit, which was very important, that my uncle will support me, that the government won't have to worry about me. Right. And
do you remember who did that?
It was an office, and there was a lady. I'm sure it was a lady, mm-hmm. A clerk.
She had a uniform on?
That I don't remember.
No.
That I don't remember.
Did she ask any questions?
Probably so, but everything was written down. And as you know, most of the immigrants don't speak English. I spoke a few words. As I said, I studied for about 2 months, but it didn't help me too much. Potato and tomato. And maybe she did what my name was. And then she looked at my papers, and that was all right. And then we went to the doctors.
Do you remember any interpreter when they examined your papers?
No.
There wasn't any interpreter?
No, because everything was there in English.
Right.
Everything was in English.
Do you remember what part of the building, anything about, from the boat?
An office. It was an office building. But the doctors examined us in a big, big room, and we were standing in line, next. And
were you standing in line?
We were standing in line for the doctors, that I remember, yeah. And the doctor looked at the nails and the eyes, the mouth, ear, and then teeth and chest. And one after another we went, and when I was through that, I was very happy, until I missed my $25. That was the last thing.
How long did that take, that examination?
Not too long. Not too long, because there was a lot of people. Don't forget, it wasn't only third class. There was first and second class, too. Some people had rich relatives, and they sent first class ticket or second class ticket for them. There was three classes on the boat.
Do you remember, did you have to walk up steps or anything to get to that large area? Where the
it was all on one floor. As far as I remember, I think it was all the office and the doctors, I think, was all on one floor. Yeah.
So then after the medical examination, what was the next?
The next thing, they wanted the $25.
So what happened? Someone asked you for your money and you had to show
it? Yeah, you had to show $25. Every immigrant had to have $25.
U.S.? $25 U.S.?
Of course, yeah. But mine was gone, and the third piece was gone too.
So, what happened? How did you lose it? I don't know if you said it.
Somebody stole it. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose it. Mm-hmm. You see, as I told you, I came in a wicker basket. I came with I had a wicker basket, and this is the way I had to carry it. And I don't know. I had it in my room, and the lock was not very secure. I think it was easy. And my mother put it on top. She was afraid that I'm going to lose it in my pocketbook because I was young. She didn't put it in my pocketbook. She put it in that little wicker basket where I had my belongings. And on top of it, she put a very pretty fur piece for my sister to wear around her neck. And she put the $25 on. Well, they never thought that somebody's going to steal it. She thought it was more safe in there than in my pocketbook.
So where was the $25? It was
in the wicker basket on the top.
Oh, just sitting on the top.
Just sitting on the top with the fur piece and the wicker and the $25. So that was gone. The fur piece was gone and the $25 was gone.
You think it was stolen on the boat?
I don't know because I never looked at it from the time I left home. I didn't know where. Could have been on the boat and it could have been in Ellis Island too. Not that I want to accuse anybody, but American people are smarter than the European. Could have been one of the fellows who worked there, cleaning the room. I don't know. But it could have been somebody in the steerage. There was four of us in the room. I don't know. But I never missed it until they asked me for it.
Pretty terrifying situation.
It was. I thought I was going to be shipped back home. But then they got in touch with my sister. And she sent it.
So what did they, when you didn't have the money, what did they do?
Ship me back. I have to go back in my room and stay there.
On Ellis Island?
On Ellis Island, yes.
So they put you in a...
There was a room, like a compartment actually, with a bed. But I sat most of the time on the stone bench. They have stone benches all around. And that's where I sat with this other girl who was going to Detroit. We were sitting and talking. Of course, by that time, we were very disappointed. Didn't know how we were going to get to my sister and her sheep to her brother.
Mm. Was it a single room?
Our bed was just like a little compartment. Just a bed enough to put the things down.
Yeah. Was it a great distance from the great hall?
It was a great big hall, and there was beds. Like a compartment.
Yeah. Was it a great distance from the place where the doctors examined you?
Yeah, it was quite a walk, yeah.
Were you under guard or?
No, not under guard. We were all right. We were good people.
Yeah, you just sort of
no guard, no.
Yeah.
No.
So, how did you? Did someone come to help you? Was there any assistance, like from Hyas or the Hebrew immigrants?
No, Hyas didn't do nothing. Nobody did anything for me, my sister and my uncle.
Yeah. So, you might have said it before, but just your sister. How did you make contact with your sister to let her know that she didn't have $25?
Not me. The authorities did. Ellis Island did.
Oh, the authority.
Because
oh.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, I see.
They did. They got in touch with her, yes.
I see.
and that I needed the $25, and she probably wired it, or somehow it got there in a day or two, and that's when they let me go.
Okay, so it had nothing. You had nothing to do with the wire. Or
no. The authorities did. Right. They took got in touch with her.
I see.
Yeah.
So no one came to talk to you about it or ask you.
No, I just said I cried. I said I had $25 here. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. So. I think because I was young and naive, they could see that I was very naive, just a small-town girl, didn't know any better, so they had pity on me,
yeah.
And they took care of it for me.
Right. So how many nights did you spend there?
Two nights. See, she sent the money right away, I guess. Those days, I don't think it went as fast as it does today. But this other girl, I left her there. She, from her brother, she never had the money yet when I left. I felt so sorry for her. And I never thought of asking her address. She was a nice girl.
Were those sleepless nights? Do you remember anything about what that experience was like?
No, I really don't.
No.
I cried enough.
Yeah, it must have been.
I cried a lot, first of all, for leaving my parents. For leaving home, and I was scared. I was hoping that they'll all come, to America. That's why my sister came, and that's why I came. She brought me over because I wanted them to come to America. But still, I was afraid that I'll never see them, which I never saw my father again. But I did see my mother. After 5 years, I went home to see her. Yeah.
Do you remember anything about what you had to eat during that time on Ellis?
On the boat?
No, on Ellis.
On Ellis Island. I really don't remember the food. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was the best. I doubt it. But I don't remember. I really can't say.
Okay. So, did someone come and give you word, bring word to you that the $25 that your sister had sent?
Well, they just said, you can go. And they pinned a ticket on me. They called me out, and they put a ticket on me with my name, with a safety pin. I never saw a safety pin before and thought it was funny. And my sister's name and address, and they said to let me off in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So then they put me on the ferry. They didn't say nothing else.
Yeah.
They said, all right, they gave me the money.
Right.
They gave me the
so
money.
Oh, yes,
that was mine. Gave me the money and put me on a ferry boat and shipped me into New York with others and then put me on the Pennsylvania train.
Was anybody accompanying you on the boat?
Especially?
Yeah,
no.
Like a chaperone or anything?
Well, there was a whole group of us and one man, who takes the ferry from one place to the other, whether he's a captain or whatever he is. But nobody was it Cunard? Maybe Cunard? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
They just put us on the ferry boat and took us over to New York.
Did you mention that there was a Cunard line, I can't pronounce it right.
Cunard.
Line agent that was helping people get through?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they had to have that, sure. After all, we were their charges, we were their responsibility.
Right. Did that person have any contact with you while you were on Ellis?
No, not special.
Yeah, but did you know of this person?
No, didn't know. He was just from Cunard Line, that's all we know.
Okay. And he was there during the examinations?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh.
No.
Was there an agent on Ellis Island? Was there anybody on Ellis Island?
I think so. I think so. He had to see that his patients, not his patients, his passengers get through.
Yeah. But you never had talked to him?
No, it was a group.
Yeah.
They did not give us individual attention.
Right.
No.
Okay, so unaccompanied, well, with the group.
Yeah.
You went on to Penn Station.
Yeah.
Did the whole group just went together on the train?
Yes.
So you really didn't need any individual?
No, because the ticket was there, and the conductor came to me, put me on the train, gave me a seat, I was what they called those days greenhorn. Did you ever hear the expression? So that's a greenhorn, and he gave me a seat, and he said, you just sit there, and when we come to Pittsburgh, I'll put you off.
How did he communicate that to you?
Well, I understood some English. Some they understood, yeah.
But I mean, everything was in English. There weren't any...
Well, no, there was nobody in Hungarian who would talk to me, because the immigrants each went a different way. They didn't know. I think I was the only one coming to Pittsburgh.
So how did your first impressions of America compare to your expectations?
Well,
back in Hungary, how did the two compare?
I understand what you mean. I was happy to be here, but I didn't like it very much at the beginning. You know, I didn't know what to do. I felt obligated to my sister and to my uncle, but it didn't take me long. I learned to love America fast enough. I mean, I started to go to school and meet other kids, you know, talk to children, to other boys. And when I got a job, then I was fine. And I love America. I keep on saying that because I do. God bless America. Best country in the world. If only the people would know, if they would live in the other countries and know what life is there, where you cannot say what you want to say, then they would appreciate it.
You said you went back to Hungary five
years? Yes, I was back in 80, 81, 82. 84.
Oh, I thought it was 5 years after you came over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lately I went because I suffered from arthritis, so I went for baths. After I was here 5 years, I went back to visit my mother. She was widowed by then, you know. And...
How did it feel to go back to the old country?
Feels funny. Mm. Feels funny. And like recently when I was there, they said, why don't you come back? You couldn't give me all of Hungary to go back there, where you have to be so careful of what you're saying. And you never know who you're talking to. You know, it's Russian occupied. I was in Budapest. And I traveled by cab because cabs are cheap there. I would have gotten lost traveling on the bus. So one cab driver says to me, what about you Americans? You could chase the Russians out of Austria. Why don't you chase them out of Hungary? We don't want them here. Now, I didn't say nothing. I was afraid he could have been a spy. You have to be very careful what you're saying there. So here, there's no comparison. And that's supposed to be the best satellite country. Hungary has it better than any other satellite country.
How long did it take for you to become a citizen?
5 years. And I was very proud of it when I got that red book. No, the red book was the passport. As soon as I became a citizen, I got the passport, which was a red book. And I was very proud of it. I went right home to visit my mother right away. 5 years. It takes 5 years. First year you get the green card, and then 4 more years you get the citizenship. Mm. A nice piece of paper.
Mm. Was there, you know, is there any feelings of remorse or regret at all? You know, it's sort of like closing a door on the old country, isn't it, when you become a citizen here?
Mm. Well, yes, I did. Well, except that my mother was there, but otherwise I wasn't interested in Hungary at all. I was in a good country. I was very happy to be here. It's just that my mother was there and my sister and brother, but otherwise I didn't. My brother, he should have come here too, but couldn't make it. He was in concentration camp. But I loved it here. It didn't take me long to learn to love America. Let me put it that way.
Did it take long to learn English?
No. You probably still detect the Hungarian accent when I talk, but I pick up languages pretty fast. And I didn't forget the Hungarian language. They were surprised when I was back last year too, that I still speak it very well. It didn't take me long because we had to go. Now you see, I think it's terrible that today the teachers have to learn Spanish to talk to the Spanish immigrants. The teachers did not learn Hungarian to talk to us. We had to learn. 3 times a week, 3 nights a week, we went to school, night school. It was compulsory. And it didn't take me long to learn.
Did you, when you first arrived in Pittsburgh, did you go to school or go to work?
I went to school for a while.
In Romanian or in Hungarian rather, or English? It was an
American
school.
Sure, to public school.
Oh, really?
Every night we went to public school. There was quite a few of us in the class, 30, 40 people in the class. And I remember one thing when my teacher told me, she says, "You're doing much better in your English than I could do in Hungarian."
Oh, it was a kind of English class.
Sure, we learned read and write English, definitely. And it was wonderful. That way we got a job quicker. We were able to work quicker.
Right.
It was wonderful.
Was there a kind of Hungarian community there in Pittsburgh?
Yes. That was the Hungarian Club. It was called Hungarian Club. And every Sunday night we used to have gypsy music. You know, that's famous, the gypsy music. We used to have enjoy ourselves. All the Hungarians got together.
Don't answer it yet. We're wondering why you, at Ellis Island, why you slept on the stone benches instead of your bed.
Because I was very restless. I couldn't sleep. I wanted to get to my sister. I was very worried. Sooner I got out of it. So I couldn't sleep good in bed. I went out, I got up, and I went out. And there was the stone bench, and I laid down there and cried plenty.
You were allowed to wander around?
Yeah, sure. Sure, we were allowed to wander around. If you had money, you could buy things there too. But I didn't have any money.
What kind of things would you buy there?
They were selling there, I think, cards or some little notions like that. Maybe food, too, if I remember. You could buy something, like rolls or a sandwich. Yeah.
Do you remember if they served you kosher food? Or?
On the boat, I heard that they were serving kosher food, but in Ellis Island, I don't remember. That I don't remember. Maybe those who requested, maybe they did get, because after all, they were Cunard Line passengers. So if they requested kosher food, they did get it. But I'm not on the boat, this American man told me. I wasn't down in the dining room, but told me. I wasn't down in the dining room, but he told me that he was getting kosher food, a lot of herrings and potatoes and tomatoes.
Generally, how did the officials treat you on Ellis Island?
Good. Yes, no complaint.
No problem.
Yeah. I think they were maybe sorry for us, but really I can't complain. They were nice. The doctors were strict. We were, but maybe we were more scared, you know, hoping that he finds nothing wrong with us.
Were there female doctors examining female
immigrants? I only had a man doctor. I only remember a man.
If you could tell us what happened to your chaperone.
She came here to her husband. I saw her here. She lived in the Bronx. I was going to tell you a funny story now, too, that after 5 years when I visited my mother, and when I came back, she was supposed to meet me at the boat here in New York. And she wasn't there. I didn't see her. So I saw a man who was sweeping there, working there by the boat, you know, the what do you call it, not the airport, where the boat is. Yeah, he was weeping. I said, Mr., she lived on Longfellow Avenue. I says to him, Mr., do you know where Longfellow Avenue is? He says, you mean a bigger, taller man? Me no see.
This was on Ellis Island?
No.
Oh.
This was, you asked me if I saw my chaperone after. We got together quite often. I visited her, and after 5 years, when I came back from a visit, I asked her to wait for me at the boat.
Oh, okay.
See?
I see. Okay.
And she lived on Longfellow Avenue. That's all right. She lived on Longfellow Avenue. So she wasn't there. So I asked one of the sweepers. I didn't know how to get to Longfellow Avenue. I said, Mister, would you know where is Longfellow Avenue? He says, you mean a bigger, taller fellow? Me no see. So I put something funny there.
But actually, Annette, back in Amsterdam,
yeah.
Your chaperone was with you.
I saw her, but she was ready to leave.
So she just left.
She left because her boat, her group left. The day I got there, I just said hello to her. I saw her. She was already on the other boat to go for Sherbrooke.
So she didn't accompany you?
No, I came alone.
Did they ask you about her on Ellis Island?
No, they didn't. Mm. And her name was in my passport.
And nobody asked a question?
Nobody asked me any questions.
End of tape one, side two. End of interview with Mrs. Burkhoff.
Thank you. God bless America. Don't put that in there.